And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today, folks. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I don't know what kind of weather you all are enjoying. We know the folks in Nashville have had their share of tragedy, and we've been praying for them, and 8 Days of Hope is down there helping them. And I know some of you have volunteered and are helping out there as well. But we've had some beautiful weather this weekend here in Virginia, at least in the southeastern part of Virginia where I reside. Always grateful for that. We're into March. We're back to daylight savings time. Spring is starting to sprung. I'm starting to see bugs. You know, the spring is here. I'm starting to see a couple of bugs here and there. Good sign, because I love the warmer weather. So I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Of course, some of you live in a climate where you don't really have any winter weather per se, or it's very, very mild. God bless you. And I say that with no envy whatsoever in my heart, believe me. Well, maybe just a little bit, but you know, I'm blessed here in Southeast Virginia. Our winters are pretty mild here, average temperatures in about the 40s. Occasionally it gets down into the 30s, of course, and it gets down to the 30s fairly regularly at night during the winter, and occasionally down into the 20s. But folks, I used to live in Massachusetts where the weather would get down into the 0 degrees, 5 degrees, and believe me, I am glad to have been delivered from Massachusetts in more than one way. And God bless the people who are still there. In fact, I still have a church there, and God bless the members who are there, because they really do have a mission. Massachusetts is the California of the East Coast, but that's another matter. I want to remind everybody that we've got our Marriage, Family, and Life Conference coming up. It's going to be June 25th through 27th, and this is going to be a tremendous conference. I was there last year. I'm going to be back this year. We're also going to have Dr. Frank Turek, Dr. Michael Brown, Laura Petheridge, Abraham Hamilton III, Alex McFarlane, Miki Addison, John Uller, and Elizabeth Park of Students for Life Outreach Coordinator, the Students for Life Outreach Coordinator. So it's going to be a wonderful conference. And by the way, we're going to have a track for youth ages 4 through 17. So that means young people can come. And right now, there's an early bird registration in effect that's going to be in effect until April the 1st, until April the 1st. So that means you got the rest of this month to register early. I hope you'll plan to be there. It's going to be a wonderful time. It was last year. Wow. I mean, it was just amazing. And I believe it's going to be just as good and probably even better this time. So, because, you know, the path of the righteous is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. I believe God just keeps taking us up and up and up and up and up. And so I believe this will be a further step up, and that each year we do this, it'll get better and better and better. So, and folks, given the controversy that I stirred up, knowing that I would stir it up, but because I prefaced my comments last week when I said, I know this is going to get me into trouble. And when I say that, I mean get me into trouble with the left, because they're going to go crazy. And they did when I talked about the breakdown of the family, particularly in the black community, and all of the confusion that's been introduced into our culture now that only serves to further undermine the family, particularly in a community. This is happening across the country, by the way, across in all demographics, but particularly in a community that is beset by family breakdown, lack of family formation, out of wedlock births, and all the social ills that go along with that, because I believe that you can trace a direct line to the gangs, the violence, the drug dealing, the drug addiction, and a whole host of problems that come when a child is raised without a father, because that's usually the problem. The problem is there's no father in the home. And I said the last thing we need is, and I use this phrase, I made it up on the spot, is the homovirus running rampant in our culture. I said, I don't mean a physical illness. I'm talking about spiritual and psychological and emotional illness that is generated by young people, children, feeling abandoned, and in fact, being abandoned by their parents. So these marriage, family, and life conferences, folks, are they are absolutely critical and deal with a critical issue that is facing our culture today. So I hope you'll join in. I want to let you know, I do a call every Tuesday at 12 noon Eastern time, and I have a special guest on that call every Tuesday to talk about the issues of the day. And the call is called the National Awakening Coalition Conference Call, and it's made up of leaders from around the country. Literally, folks, there'll be people on the call from 20 states or more. Tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern time, Eric Metaxas is going to be my guest. And if you can't be on that call, that's fine, because I'm going to get him on the radio as well. But we were only able to schedule him right now for the call at 12 noon Eastern time. If you want the information on joining that call, just email me at ewj@standamerica.us. Say, please send me the information. If you don't already get it, send me the information on the call tomorrow. Eric Metaxas is a scholar, a humorist, this man has just a tremendous amount to say about where we are in our culture right now, and a lot to say about the President of the United States, too. He's one of those people who's come reluctantly to appreciate the spiritual significance of Donald Trump's election, but I think he'll talk a lot about that tomorrow. So if you have a chance, join us. Eric Metaxas, he's written a book on Bonhoeffer, and I've written a couple of major, major scholarly works on historic figures. Bonhoeffer is one of them. And I'll get more into his biography, but I just wanted to let you know that that call is going to happen tomorrow, and you're welcome to be a part of it. Okay. Well, folks, the first thing I want to say is, everybody, take a deep breath. Calm down. You know, I am far more disturbed by the fearful reaction to the coronavirus than I am to the virus itself. I think that the greater danger to this country is the overreaction of people to this virus. And so I really mean it when I say, calm down. You know, Jesus said that, I think this is in Luke 21, if I'm not mistaken, where Jesus says, men's heart would fail them for fear, looking and expecting the things that are coming on the earth. And we've seen the stock market lose $6 trillion in value over the last couple of weeks for fear of the coronavirus. Now, look, I realize that some of this is just rational business decisions based on how they feel that this is going to affect the economies of various countries. But folks, more people die by far of the regular seasonal flu that hits every year. Now, I understand about 46,000 people die each year from the regular flu, and that this coronavirus is rarely fatal, and that it affects primarily people who are old and have their immune systems compromised, and very young people have their immune systems compromised as a result of diseases or other issues that they might have, that for the average person, they could have it and not even know they have it because it will present like the common cold. And you've got people emptying grocery stores and stocking up and folks, I mean, really? Now, I believe that you Christians aren't doing that because we just know better. Our trust is in Almighty God. And I've said before, we do the common sense things we should do, but we don't go crazy with fear. That's not biblical. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Credit goes to Senator Ben Sasse, who has tried to get the U.S. Senate to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Act. This time it was filibustered by 41 Democratic senators. Let me remind you that the bill would merely require doctors to provide medical care to infants who survive an attempted abortion. You might think that this would be standard medical procedure, but you would be wrong. Some who oppose the bill counter that the legislation is unnecessary or that it is redundant. Decades ago, I was speaking at a pro-life event when I met a young woman who survived an abortion attempt. Now in her 40s, she and many other abortion survivors have testified in Congress and in various state legislatures. You might wonder why members of Congress and members of state legislatures oppose legislation to protect a child born alive. It isn't because Americans agree with their opposition. Alexander DeSantis documents one survey that found that nearly three-quarters of Americans believe doctors should be required to care for infants who survive abortion. I believe that pro-choice politicians who oppose such a bill fear that making even an exception for what is essentially infanticide would weaken their arguments for abortion. And I've also tried to document in previous commentaries that the Democratic Party has become much more extreme on the subject of abortion than they were just a decade ago. Pro-choice politicians also know they don't have to pay any political price for their opposition to this bill because the mainstream media covers for them. Alexander DeSantis, in a recent column, provides extensive documentation for how the press inaccurately covered the legislation. That's a sad commentary on both the Congress and the media today in America. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
8 Days of Hope continues to be the hands and feet of Jesus. The ministry is in need of volunteers as they turn their attention to Nashville. Visit 8daysofhope.com to learn how you can help. Here's 8 Days of Hope President Steve Tiber.
We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. On a moment's notice, your life can change. And you don't know what to do, and all of a sudden you get a knock on your door, and there's a dozen volunteers that have come from all over the country, and homeowners usually, they just start to weep. They're so blown away that volunteers they don't even know would come to their house to help them. That's the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
Volunteers must be 18 years or older. Food and lodging are provided. Be a part of helping tornado victims in Nashville. Learn more or sign up at 8daysofhope.com.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
By the way, folks, on Friday, we started taking calls early. I love that. And I'm going to try to do better at getting you all on the line early because I just enjoy talking to you. I mean it. The number is 888-589-8840. I'd rather listen to you all, frankly, than listen to myself. I mean that, too. Although I know I'm here to talk, and I don't mind doing that, but I like hearing what you all have to say. 888-589-8840 is the number. A couple more things I want to say about this whole coronavirus thing. The first is this. You know, it is very difficult to fathom this, and what I'm about to say, even knowing what I'm about to say, it strikes me as harsh, but it's just true. I really believe that the mainstream media wants a panic in America. I believe that the people who are opposed to President Donald Trump, and this may sound harsh, but I believe it's absolutely true. I think that they would like to see an economic collapse if they thought that it would bring about the end of the Trump administration. Now, you see what I mean? That just seems that even as I say that, it even strikes my ears as harsh, but I believe it's absolutely true. I think they hate this man so much that they would see mass suffering in this country if they thought it would bring about his political demise. And that is a sad commentary, folks. It really is. It is a sad commentary. Because what it really means to me is, which is typical, by the way, of Marxism, because these people really are Marxists, they're leftists, then the progressive doesn't really capture it. I mean, these people are socialists and communists. They're not card-carrying members of the Communist Party, no, but they have imbibed those ideas and embraced them. And just as Rahm Emanuel used to say, never let a good crisis go to waste, well, he could have amended that to add, when you can't find a good crisis, create one. And I think that's exactly what they'd like to do. They'd like to create a crisis where there is none and collapse the stock market, collapse the economy, just see everything go awry if they thought that it would lead to President Donald Trump's defeat in the election of November. And, you know, here again, look, I did not vote for President Barack Obama either time. I'm not even one of those people who said, well, you know, I voted for him the first time because I thought maybe it was time for a black president, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not trying to come down to those people, but I'm saying I'm not one of those people who can say that. I didn't vote for him either time. I saw the handwriting on the wall. I knew exactly what he represented. And to me, he was the worst thing that could happen to our country as a president at that moment. And in my view, he proved to be one of the worst things that could happen to this country. I think he caused this country's moral and spiritual standing to degenerate on an accelerated level, which to me is the moral and spiritual foundation of the country that's the basis for our economic and military and national security strength. And so when you undermine the country spiritually and morally, you are really undermining the fabric that sustains everything else. So in my view, my judgment was right. President Barack Obama was a disaster for this nation. I think he divided us. I think he accelerated the whole homosexual, transgender nonsense that is plaguing us right now. But you know what? And I agreed with Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh said at the time and caught a lot of flack for it, I hope he fails. I agreed with him. But I didn't want the country to fail. I wanted his policies to fail because I thought they were going to be bad for the country and it would be better if they did not succeed, that the country would be better off. But I think we're dealing with people today who want the country to be bad off because they think that's the only way to get rid of Donald Trump. Yeah, which leads me to another point, which is these folks don't love America. I'm just convinced of that. They don't. Now, you can pull it out of them. You can jab them and say, well, you're not a patriot. And then they'll come back and say, oh, I'm a patriot. I'm just as patriotic as you are. But it's not something that they spontaneously enunciate, that they spontaneously share. Barack Obama never did. He never expressed any love or affection for this country. Not once. Not once. It was always criticism. And that's where these people are. And so on some level, I think they think the country deserves to be brought down. It deserves to get its comeuppance. Because we're racist and sexist and white supremacist and we're imperialist and we're, you know, you name it. Bernie Sanders had no problem complimenting Fidel Castro and complimenting the Soviet Union, but he had to practically have his arm twisted to say something good about America. And they only say it because they feel if they don't say it, people will get the impression that they don't love this country, they don't even like this country, and frankly, I think that's the truth. And that, frankly, folks, as jaundiced as I am about the left and how off they are, I find that surprisingly disgusting. You know, really, just surprisingly disgusting that they'd rather see the country in misery to get their own political way than to see America thrive and prosper, even though they don't particularly care for the person who's leading the nation right now. I never felt that way about Barack Obama. That, you know, if it takes America's collapse to get rid of him, that's fine. No, no. Because I share something with the president that I don't think Barack Obama knew or understood, which is we actually care. I think President Trump actually cares about the American people and our well-being. And I care about the American people and our well-being. So I don't want to see some widespread economic collapse, disaster, something happen to the country that hurts millions of people. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it happen for liberals. I don't want to see it happen for conservatives. I don't want to see it happen for independents. I don't want to see it happen for America. Because if you actually care about this country, you care about its people, and you really want, we fight because we want the very best for every American. And we fight ideas that we think are bad for Americans. We don't ever fight because we want to see Americans hurt or harmed or destroyed. But folks, here again, the left doesn't seem to care. You know what? I'm going to pause there. I got some other issues, but since you all are calling in already, the number is 888-589-8840. Let me go right to your calls. And let's see. Let's go to Mac in Georgia. Mac, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Brother Bishop. I appreciate you taking my call. You are right on everything you say, to my opinion. I think the other side is just eating it up, really. And it's sad to say. But just look how bad the Democrats are. They are evil, and so they're subject for anything. But there was Chris Matthews on MSNBC. His brother Democrats dropkicked him right out of the radio. Thank you. Thank you. And you're doing real good. Thank you.
All
brother.
Right. Thank you, Mac. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Well, look, we've seen this again and again, that the left sets standards that they themselves don't even meet. So they end up having to destroy their own because they get bitten by their own crazy ideas. And look, here again, folks, Lord knows no woman should ever be assaulted, insulted. No human being should. And we ought to treat every person with respect, even people with whom we do not agree. We ought to treat them with respect and show them the dignity to which they are entitled as human beings that God created. But I read what Matthews is supposed to have said, and maybe he said some other things as well that we're not aware of right now. But I'm thinking to myself, wow, I mean, this is what the left is. Do you all realize, do you know, to hold a door open for feminists, that's an insult? Yeah. I thought it was a gentlemanly thing to do, but then there's no such thing as gentlemen and ladies either, are there? This is the craziness that they've brought into our country, and now they've got to try to meet standards that they themselves, not only do they not live by, they don't even want to live by those standards. They have no interest in those standards. What they have an interest in is using their ideas as tools of manipulation to make sure that they can control people. That's really what it's all about. But remember, the rules don't apply to them. They're different. They're special. So by the way, so right now we've got the left, I think, rooting for the coronavirus. Yeah, rooting for it. And, you know, and President Trump's not doing anything. He's doing everything in his power to deal with something that nobody could anticipate, to deal with something that nobody can completely control because it's an invisible thing that you can't watch it, you can't look at it. And everything in his power within a free society to not treat us like we're in prison. And I think America's going to be just fine. And you and I are going to be just fine. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
What we see now is like the dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Sometimes this thing of following the carpenter of Galilee can get to be a very difficult thing. One of the most complex difficulties comes in the understanding of theology. For the average fellow, theology can sometimes get to be a very confusing and difficult subject to understand. I guess that's one reason there are so many varieties within the vast family of that fisher of men. Even after 7 years of higher education dealing specifically with the subject, I often find myself over my head in the subject. One of the tragedies of the difficulty is the unkind remarks some who are supposedly followers of Christ have made toward others who are trying equally as hard to follow. There's been a lot of heartache and heartbreak over this thing of theology, so difficult it becomes sometimes. Friend has berated friend, brother has belittled brother, even child has criticized parent in this area. Personally, I don't believe any one person or any group has claim on all God's truth. And on the other hand, I believe that there are those who sincerely are trying to follow this grand Galilean who have some truth. The mind of the human is too small and too limited to comprehend all the truth of the Creator. Like I said, sometimes I get over my head and have to go back to some basic fundamentals of which I'm certain. And each time I step out into deep water theologically, I return thankful that the basic necessities are so simple, even a little child can understand. Some theology is like Greek to me, and I don't read Greek. I guess I'm kind of like the Southern farm boy back just prior to World War II. Having been around the country a little, I know what other sections think of when I say a Southern farm boy. And the story fits the pattern, although we Southerners aren't quite as illiterate as some of our better-versed Northern and Western friends might think. This farm boy got a questionnaire to fill out and return to the draft board. The questionnaire went into somewhat of a deep detail and had what was to the farm boy some confusing language in it. After studying it for some time and coming to the conclusion that he would not be able to fill it out completely and correctly, the farm boy took his pencil in hand and wrote across the top of the form the best answer he could think of. "Dear Uncle Sam," he wrote, "I'm not quite sure what you mean with all these here questions, but I want you to know I'm ready when you are." And then he signed his name. Theology does get quite difficult sometimes, but I don't think the Heavenly Father is concerned that we stay crystal clear in all our theological understanding. I believe what He wants the most is to know that we're ready when He is. And while that doesn't make theology simple, maybe it is a little clearer.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Folks, on this coronavirus, the reports are that while it is more contagious than the seasonal flu, that it is rarely deadly, and often the symptoms are so mild that you can't distinguish it from the common cold. Hardly something that we need to be climbing up trees, digging holes, stocking up all the sheds of our homes and with food for a year because, we're about to have the zombie apocalypse here. And yet, I think if you listen to the mainstream media, particularly the way they criticize the president's handling of this, you would think that that is what we are facing. And you know what? And if the president did something truly draconian, like if he shut down a city or he said, I'm going to stop transportation or I'm going to, then they would say, see, he's a dictator. He's a dictator. We told you he wants to rule the world. So the man can't win. He really can't. If he acts aggressively, he's a dictator. And if he tries to be measured, he's not doing anything. He doesn't care. He wants they're incompetent. They want people to get sick. They're downplaying this crisis. And when the president was trying to deal with the crisis at the border, which he substantially reduced now, they were saying he was manufacturing a crisis. There was no crisis. He cannot win with these folks. And one other thing, and then I want to come back to the lines. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. This is one other thing that really bothers me about this. And it's that I sense the left gearing up to suggest that any acknowledgement that this thing has come from China is racist. Yep. Yep. They've already started that mantra. You cannot mention that it comes from China. Just like you couldn't mention that AIDS has been primarily a homosexual disease. You couldn't do that. That's homophobic. You can't say that. Even though in the early stages, it was almost completely, and frankly began in San Francisco in the bathhouses, is where it really took root in the country and then spread across the country and killed many people. But you couldn't you couldn't say that. You're not allowed to say that. Because absolutely, it has nothing to do with that. It's the same thing with terrorism. You can't say that there's Islamic terror because that's Islamophobic. I mean, it's as if these people have a suicide pact. In other words, deny anything that would actually depict reality. Deny that if it violates your rules of political correctness. Just deny that. And it's almost like a Mack truck is heading at you at 100 miles an hour, but political correctness says that Mack trucks don't drive at 100 miles an hour and they don't hurt anybody, and you stand in the middle of the road and somebody says, "Get out of the way. There's a dangerous Mack truck coming at you." And some politically correct idiot says, "Now, wait a minute. Now, see, you can't say that. You can't say that. Mack trucks don't hurt people." And, then they keep talking like that until you get smashed. I mean, to me, it's the equivalent of that. This disease began in communist China. We don't know exactly how or why, but I do know that the communist Chinese are playing the progressive game and have suggested that anybody who associates the disease with China is being racist. They've learned well from the American left. Oh, they know how to play that card. In fact, Al Jazeera has an article out today criticizing Congressman Paul Gosar for calling it the Wuhan virus. Well, they call it the Wuhan virus because that's where it's believed to have originated, in Wuhan, China. "You can't say that. That's racist." What? And somebody pointed out, well, wait a minute. The Spanish flu that we believe originated in Spain, was that racist? Well, I guess that's different. The Ebola virus that originated in a place called I'll get the exact, but it's in Africa. That's you can't. How can you call it that? That's racist. So we don't call it the Wuhan virus, don't call it the Chinese virus, don't call it the Asian virus. That's racist. Well, look, I'm not interested in insulting the Chinese or insulting Asians or insulting anybody, but I am interested in facts. How many people know that it originated in a place called Wuhan, China? Maybe we need to call it the Wuhan virus so that at least people know where it emanated from. Maybe the better to prevent it in the future. Or maybe to figure out, well, what are they doing in China? Have they done anything to contribute to this strain of the flu being developed? And could worse things come out? You know, Ronald Reagan used to say, "Don't be afraid to see what you see." And I think it was a direct slap at the political correctness that says, no, you can't say what you actually see, because if you say what you actually see, that's racist, that's sexist, that's Islamophobic, that's homophobic, that's this phobic and that phobic and another phobic, and just shut up and ignore the facts, ignore the truth, and just pretend it doesn't exist, because you'll be a much better person if you do. Yeah, but you know what? You might also be dead. You might get run over by the Mack truck that they keep telling you doesn't hurt anybody. And they never fly at 100 miles an hour. You know, this stuff has just got to stop. It really does, folks. You know, my father used to say to me when I was growing up, I'm going to come right to the lines, but my father used to say to me when I was growing up, he said, son, you will hear people say, what you don't know can't hurt you. He said, that's a lie. What you don't know can kill you. I'll stop there. Let's go back to the calls. Let's go to Carl. Carl in Texas. Carl, welcome.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Carl. Good to hear from you, too.
Yes, sir. Mr. Jackson, have the people thought about, you know, I know that the left is trying to use this to scare people and all that, but how many people die of a day of traffic accidents?
A lot more than will ever die of this virus. I mean, yeah, people have made that point. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I want to say.
Well, you said it, Carl. And listen, Carl, thank you for the call. Say hello to all my friends down there in Texas. I've got a son who lives in Texas. My son and daughter-in-law live in Texas. But Carl is absolutely right, folks. How about just a wee bit of perspective? Just a little bit of perspective here. Instead of the panic that they are trying to engender, and frankly, I believe mainly because they think it will hurt President Trump. Okay. Let's go to Maria in Tennessee. Maria, welcome. Maria, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Maria, good to have you on.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to tell you that I feel like I learned something new every day that I listen to your show. And I was wondering what you meant when you said that Massachusetts is like the California of the East.
Oh, yes. Well, Massachusetts, like California, is a one-party state. It is completely and totally controlled by Democrats. That's number one. Occasionally, they will elect a Republican governor, but it's only because he basically is a Democrat in a Republican camouflage, just like Mitt Romney was. Mitt Romney ran for governor of Massachusetts and said, I will be more pro-gay than Ted Kennedy, and he was. And he also gave up any pretense of being pro-life. And then, of course, when he ran for president, suddenly he found some of his conservative principles again. But yeah, Massachusetts is a one-party state. It is extremely liberal. It is governed by folks who have completely disconnected from God, from reality, and from the principles that built this country. So that's what I meant when I said Massachusetts is the California of the East. Back in a moment.
It felt like Isaiah in the temple when he sees God's holiness and he comes undone.
Beckett Cook on Focus on the Family Minute.
I mean, God revealed himself to me in a split second. And he was like, I'm God. Jesus is my son. Heaven's real. Hell's real. The Bible's true. And you're now adopted into my kingdom. And I just started bawling. And it was encountering Jesus that day was so, it was like you sitting right there. It was like that real. Huh. And it was like a road to Damascus moment. And I was crying for the next 25 minutes, harder than I've ever cried in my life. And I knew, in that moment, I knew homosexuality was wrong. I knew it was a sin. I knew it was no longer who I was. It wasn't my identity. I knew it was my old self. And that I knew that dating guys was not a part of my future, but I didn't care at all.
More from Beckett at familyminute.org.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
Thank you so much for everyone and everything at AFR. You all mean so much to us. It allows us some time to share in God's Word and enjoy music and laughter with each other.
It thrills us to hear how God is using American Family Radio.
I'm thankful for AFR and what it's done for my family.
Would you take a minute to call our listener line to share your story? Phone 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Folks, here again, I think this coronavirus offers a number of opportunities for us to examine some of our policies, and including, by the way, and I'm sure you all are aware of this, but we kind of lose sight of this because we deal primarily with intrusion into our border to our southern border, and we don't deal with intrusions into our border by other means. But right now, the president has just, in effect, closed down. Well, let's put it this way. He's calling for the closing of a birth tourism hotel that is there to bring Chinese women to deliver their children in the United States for the sole purpose of securing birthright citizenship. Chinese folks. Now, I know people can call it, they can say I'm racist for saying that and all that. I'm not talking about them because they happen to be Chinese or Asian. I'm talking about that because they're not Americans. They're not Americans. And they are part of a communist Chinese regime. And as far as I'm concerned, this could be a way of introducing a Manchurian candidate into our country by having these people come here, obtain citizenship, go back, be raised in communist China, have a right back to this country, and actually run for president. That's right. Think about that. These children of communist Chinese, for all we know, operatives can come here and have children, raise them in China, and actually send them back at the appropriate time, and they could actually run for president of the United States. They would be eligible. Folks, it is time for us to realize communist China is a problem, and a major one. And I think this coronavirus ought to awaken us to that fact as well. So let's come back to your calls. Cheryl, you've been very patient. Thank you for waiting. You're on.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on. I just wanted to call and kind of give a testimony and give you and your listeners some encouragement. I was living my own life. I was exposed to Christianity as a child, and I just kind of took it with a grain of salt, you know, where the fat cows on Bashan in the United States were spoiled, and that we, you know, don't feel like that stuff applies to us because we've got it so good. We feel like we're already blessed and it's inherited. And whenever this persecution of Christianity started, when the Baltic, especially when Obama took his second term, I started noticing the hatred growing in the world. I started becoming fearful. I started thinking that, you know, being consumed with hatred for certain people in particular in politics. And I just, and whenever the persecution of Christianity started, I started embracing it more because, like, people don't persecute something unless it has power. People don't want to silence something unless it's meaningful, if it can overtake what they're trying to do. And by listening to AFR and by getting back in the Bible, getting in a church and actually embracing Christianity and listening to it with an open heart and an open mind, I've been released from my anger because I now realize it's not flesh and blood we're wrestling against. It's the evil entities that are controlling these people. And I have Amen. Hope now, you know, with a grain of salt, anything's possible through God. And I pray every day that he'll turn their hearts, that he'll convict them and release the veil of darkness over their eyes. And I just live every day trying to live as close to Jesus' way as possible. And I don't push it on people, but when people see him through me and they start asking questions, I wait for those opportunities to be able to do something. And then I do use my voice. I sign the petitions from AFR and stuff like that. I do what I can, but I don't let it consume my everyday activities. And I express mm-hmm. love and try to spread joy to my fellow Christians and to the people Amen. I care about who aren't Christians.
Amen. So I just Amen. Want well, Cheryl,
to not be fearful and full of hate.
All right. All right, Cheryl, listen, I appreciate that testimony. And look, you're absolutely right, Cheryl. I opened up the program talking about the fact that we should not be fearful, and we shouldn't be, and we shouldn't be bitter, and we don't need to be angry. Now, the Bible does say be angry and sin not. There is a godly anger, but it's not an anger born of hatred of people. It's an anger born of hatred of wickedness and evil. Because as I said many times before, in Psalm 119, verses 104 or 105 and 128 in Psalm 119 say, because I believe that all your precepts concerning all things are right, I hate every false way. It is right to hate false ways. And so, but you're right. We're supposed to love people, and we should. They won't always be convinced that we love them, because love today is defined as, if you love me, you'll agree with and approve everything I do. And when you won't do that, people won't accept that as love. But we have to keep loving them anyway, because God loves them that way. God doesn't agree with or approve of any sin that anybody commits, you, me, anybody else. But he loves us anyway. And he wants us to come to him. He wants us to come away from sin and come to him. And so... And Cheryl, you raised this issue too. We Christians have got to understand that we have a power that the world does not know or understand, and that power is rooted in Jesus Christ. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you and I, we are complete in him. And so, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We are more than conquerors because he loves us. So even this cultural and political battle that we are in right now, we shouldn't be concerned and worried about the outcome. We should just do diligence, do our part, as Cheryl said, speak up, stand up, but don't even worry about the outcome, because the outcome is ultimately in the hands of the Lord. And we know that he wins. We know he wins. So Cheryl, yeah, thank you for that upbeat note of encouragement. We always appreciate being reminded of that. And folks, as I've said many times, I've read the back of the book. We win. Praise God. We win. That's why we can always have joy, even in the midst of some very difficult times for our country. Not that we don't have our own problems and issues that can come upon us as Christians. We do. But joy is not happiness, happenstance-ness. Joy is something that runs deep, because you know who you are, because you know where you've come from, because you know to whom you belong, and because you know where you're going. All right, let's get back to the lines here. By the way, the number is 888-589-8840. We got a couple more lines open, and we can get you in probably before the program ends if you call us here fairly quickly. But let's first go to Kevin in Ohio. Kevin, welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, Bishop. How are you?
I'm blessed, Kevin. How are you?
I'm well. Hey, I just want to pick your thoughts on this one. So I know there's a few months ago, President Trump had placed tariffs, you know, on China. And so what do you think about this could be some sort of backlash with the coronavirus? Because I really believe that this virus was created by their scientists, and it could be just a way of them trying to get back at the United States.
Well, Kevin, I don't know, obviously. Nobody knows. We haven't had any kind of investigation. But I'll tell you what I will say is this. We ought to endeavor to find out. We ought to figure this out. Because and the other thing I'll say is I wouldn't put it past them. You see, I don't think that the communist Chinese have any kind of moral compunctions like we do. I can't imagine government-sanctioned biological warfare to spread some disease among a population of people that we think are adversaries. It's just not how we operate. I would never support something like that. I mean, I'd like to see some of these horrible regimes defeated and see people live free, but I'm not interested in killing millions of people just because somebody, some nation happens to be an adversary to us. I mean, I'm not talking about war now, because we're not at war with China. So I would not put it past them, because I don't think they have any kind of moral compunctions. Folks, you may have heard me say this before. I'm going to come right back to the lines, but oh my goodness gracious, we're running short on time. You know what? Actually, I'm not going to say it because I want to get your calls in. Thanks for the call, Kevin. Let's go to Scott in Virginia.
Hey, Bishop. How's it
going? Hey, Scott.
I just wanted to thank you for being on the air and hearing your good word, and that I voted for you for lieutenant governor. And
thank
it was such
thank
a shame,
you.
And I was so heartbroken when you didn't win, because you should have. In our state, would be better off if you were there.
But, well, we'd certainly be better off if none of that crew that's there now were there. That's for sure.
Oh my gosh, what they've done! And I'll tell you, I was spitting mad when I read about the new minimum wage tax, because my wife is a supervisor of a group home for intellectually disabled adults, and according to the way I read the minimum wage raising, that those ladies are going to lose their jobs because piecework is no longer exempted from the minimum wage. So you're going to have these ladies who cannot hold another job because of their disabilities, or can't hold their job at market rates, I should say, and they're going to lose a big sense of their self-worth. And it's just so sad to me.
Well, but Scott, listen.
I wish you were there, and I thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, Scott. We appreciate it. Folks, it's called the law of unintended consequences, and the left just never gets it. Although I have to say, sometimes I think they want the consequences when the consequences mean that people are out of work and they have to become dependent on the government. I think they want those consequences, because I think that's they like people being dependent upon the government, because then they can control those people. You know, the reason why machines work in cities very well is because in cities, you have everybody in fairly close quarters. You have a lot of people dependent, and you can round those people up, take them to the polls. You can do ballot harvesting like what they do in California. You can do it in cities quite easily where you've got a lot of dependent people. And I think that's how the Democrat machine works. It works on dependence. But folks, socialism is communism, is slavery. There's no distinction. It all takes you to the same place, total subjugation. We're not having it in America. Well, I'll talk about our May 1st rallies next time I have a chance to talk to you. But in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.